Hello, everyone. I want to read this famous quote. The best and the most beautiful thing in the world cannot be seen or even touched, but just felt in the heart, by Helen Keller. I've worked 30 years in education, and some of my favorite kids are the ones that are on the spectrum. So my hopes is to share, help, and provide some insight from my experience. Hi, everyone. Hope you're having a great day. Been a very busy week for me. I don't know about you guys, but I had car problems, and then I just ended up getting a new car. So I'll be doing some extra work this the next few months or years to pay it off. But it's a nice car. So anyway, today what we're going to talk about is I'm just going to do some short stories. I'm going to talk about things that I've talked about before that I'd like to share again, and some new ones, and some that I've, most of them I've experienced, but some I haven't. So the first one is called Lost Phone. Okay, so there was this boy, these are autistic kids. So anyway, there was this boy and he had a phone. He was I think he was early teenager, and he lost his phone. So everybody at the school was trying to hunt for the phone and stuff. And he said to them, when you find my phone, call me and tell me you got the phone. And so they were trying to explain to him, no, we can't call you because we will have the phone. He says, well, why? It's my phone. You should be able to call me. But it took him a little while for them to explain to him, and he really didn't quite grasp the concept. He figured, this is my phone. You found it. Call me. But it was kind of comical the way he thought about that. The other one is called homeschool. And I saw this on a website. And this a boy or girl was homeschooled. And she or he said, don't want the same teacher next year. I don't know how his mother would, or mother or father would have taken that. But I thought it was kind of cute. The other one is, and I've shared this story many times, it's one of my favorite, is a little girl that I had in my classroom. We were at lunch. That was when I ate lunch with my students. And she asked me, she says, where does your mommy live? And I said, my mommy lives in heaven. She said, you didn't want to go? And I said, no, I'm going to wait till later to go. And then the next one is angels in the room. And you've all probably heard this one because I've said it a couple times, but I really love this story. It really touched some other people's hearts, so I like to share it again and again. I used to have the drawings, but I did, I used to do touch math a lot. And I, on their first page, there's little boys and girls on it. And before I had gotten this class, this would be my second year teaching, my para said to me, what are we going to do? Because we knew we had some very challenging students, one in particular, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But I said, don't worry about it. You know, I'm going to pray about it, and we're going to put angels through the room. So, and nobody was in the room at the time. We hadn't even gotten the class yet. It was at the end of the year. So anyway, the year had started, and I had made these books out of the touch math in the front page, and then I let the kids color them or decorate them and do whatever they want. So they have ownership of the book. And it was open house, so I got their books out of their desk and put them on top of their desk so their parents can look and see, you know, what we're working on with math. And the one little boy, Stephen, I said to him, or I looked at his, and he had drew angel wings on in the back of each of the students. And I had shared that one time at church, and a lady came up to me and said that her son was autistic, and she found that very fascinating that I would say that. And it made me wonder, you know, does that curtain stay open longer for some of our autistic kids, especially the nonverbal ones? And but he was verbal. Stephen was verbal, very verbal. He had no problems with talking at all. So, and then kind of another little story with him. He was into anything sharks related, and he knew everyone that lived in the sea. And one day he showed me a picture. He was looking through a book he called it a narwhal or something like that. I said, no, that's not a narwhal. That's a sword shark. And I said, and then I looked down and I read it and I said, oh, Stephen, it is that. And he got really, really quiet and just sat there for a minute. And he looked up at me and he said, you need to say you're sorry. All I could do is laugh. I said, you're right, Stephen. I'm sorry, sweetie. Okay, the next one is, his name was Chris. And he had a lot of trouble learning and a lot of difficulties at home. His parents didn't want him, and he was in a foster home, and they were just not the real loving kind of people. They took good care of him, but, you know, didn't put a lot into him. And so one day we were working on a project. We were going to do dinosaurs. And so I bought these discovery kits and for dinosaurs, and I got trays and dirt, and we're going to go get leaves and stems and stuff and create this big thing. And they were partners. Well, I got the dinosaur kits for all my kids. I think I had six of them because I divided up into twos. And so I get to popping them out. You know, they were the little plastic, little wood things, and I'm popping them out. And I didn't read the directions. And so I'm popping these out, and I got like three or four of them, and they're in a little piles. And then I read the directions, and it says, do not pop out as you do. And so we had this big pile of pieces, and I went, oh no, what am I going to do? And Chris said to me, he said, I can put them together. And I would have never guessed this at all. So I said, okay, go ahead. And he did. He built every one of them dinosaurs. The kids helped him and stuff, and then they painted them and did all that stuff. But he was like, save the day for me, because I thought I was going to have to go out and rebuy them all. But it was a good lesson for me. Read the directions before. Okay, then I have a student that he's a high schooler. I usually do elementary, but this is a very special kid, so I do. He is in high school. And he is, and I've talked about this, how kids have to see the end. You use a timer, or you can use, you know, a list, or you find different ways to, you know, I've done it where you get 5 stars and then we're on break. So you do 5 things and then we go on break. There's a lot of different ways to kind of do that, but they do need to see the end. So anyway, so this kid is on a timer, and I put it on my phone. And, you know, I make sure he can see it. He has to see it at the timer. So I make sure it's visible for him. Well, sometimes we get done a little bit early, like maybe a minute or 2 minutes at the most has been. But I have to stay there. He won't let me go. I said, can we break early? And he says, no, we have to wait till our time's done. So sometimes his mom will come in the room or something. She said, and we're just sitting there. I said, I have to wait till the timer done. She laughed. She said, no, you don't. I said, no, this is what he wants. We got a timer. I would expect him to, you know, do his work and finish it and not leave early. So I have to do the same. But it's comical. It cracks me up every time it happens. He's a good, great kid. And then I've talked about Jorge once too, and this is where I wrote on the board, the girls blank the ball. And so they have to either say, and underneath the little line I have, is it kick or kicks the ball? Is it the girls kick the ball? And little Jorge raised his hand, and they have to tell me there's like 3 things, you know, like a capital letter, a period, and which one is it that kicks ball. And he raises his little hand and he says, it's the boys kick the ball. I said, Jorge, girls can kick the ball too. But it was cute that he thought that. Remember I was telling you back when we were getting this new class and the angel story? There was this other boy, and he had a lot of emotional problems. He was on the spectrum, but he did have a lot of emotional problems, but there was a lot of difficulties within the home too. So it wasn't kind of his own fault, but he was the kind that could be mean to other kids. He bullied them, and he knew how to push everybody's buttons. And I mean, teachers that had him before I did, you know, left the rooms crying many times. He just was one of those very challenging kids. And back then, this was a long, long time ago, we didn't have all the behavior specialists that we do nowadays. You had to kind of figure things out on your own. So what we did in my classroom, it was me and my para. And back then we had, you know, we had relatively smaller classes than they do now. I think we had maybe eight kids. And so what we would do in order for him not to push our buttons anymore, this is just kind of a story. It's not really a funny story, but I would personally kind of treat him like a football. And when I've had enough, I look at my para and she would take him for a while, or I would find something independent for him that he could handle and do. And that's how we kind of did that with him. And then when she had enough, she said, I've had enough, and I would take him, and whatever he was working on, he'd sit with me, or again, maybe do something that was independent. So that's how we handled him. So he knew that he couldn't just push our buttons and get what he wanted. We were going to figure out a solution for this situation, in which we did. And then Luke, this kid, I've had him, I'm still tutoring him. And I mean, this kid's a giant. And but I've had him since he was like first grade, something like that. Kind of a sad case. Had a bad experience with his first teacher. She just didn't have the patience with him, and she just stuck him in a corner, and he was by himself, you know. And I think he did have a para with him, but still, he was just stuck in a corner. So when I got him at first, he just, you know, would throw tantrums, throw himself on the floor. But I said, no, you're not going to be separated. You're going to be with the class. And once he realized he was part of the group and stuff, I never had any kind of problems with him. He's had a very kind and gentle soul, and he still does. Just a wonderful kid. And matter of fact, because of the situation they had in another teacher, I had the district administrators come in to do some observations on him. And I got this beautiful letter. I wish I had kept it, saying that whatever she's doing, keep doing it, because she said, I would have not known I didn't know that was the same kid when I first walked in. So anyway, that was a kind of a good story for me. But this kid, anyway, like I said, he has, he's a giant kid, and he has a giant heart. He's just the sweetest kid you could ever imagine. And I know I say that a lot about my kids, but I really feel that way. So anyway, I've told this story before, but we were in the library. My para was out again. And so I was kind of alone, and I got kids here, kids there, and I'm kind of frantic-y a little bit and kind of not keeping my cool. And then he has to go to the bathroom, and he takes forever. And I'm saying, I got kids that are in line. So I'm like, oh my gosh. And I was frustrated. And finally I said, you know, come on, you're done. Let's go. And he could see the frustration in me, and he got in front of me, and I kept trying to, you know, move around him, and he wouldn't let me. He just wouldn't let me go. I said, Luke, let me go. And he wouldn't do it. And finally, I just stopped for a minute, and I looked at him, and he kind of laughed, and he put his hands on my shoulders and looked at me like, and he's deaf too. So he, you know, signed to me, you know, be calm and just take a breath. And I knew exactly what he meant, you know, and he was right. And then I started laughing. I said, you're right, Luke. Take a breath. It's not that serious. It's just library. We'll get together. Nobody's running out of the room. We'll get it together. Go back to class. And he was right. So, you know, and it just touched my heart. And I always remember that story because, you know, he sensed my frustration and he calmed me down. And that taught me that, you know, he got it in life. You know, don't worry about it. It's okay. And he kind of has that attitude, you know, don't worry about it. It's fine. You know, tomorrow will be another day, so just take it easy. And he was right. We need to look at life like that. Kind of taught me a good lesson there, and I appreciated that. So anyway, those are the short little stories I have for today. I know I went a little bit longer than I normally do, but I hope you enjoyed them. And I do have, my mother told me one time, she said, write down all these stories, and I didn't do it, and I have more. So I did write down a few of them, and I'm going to see if I can find them and then share some more stories with you. And I know that you probably have stories of your own that you can share, and that's great. You know, share those stories with the people and some good stories. I know that it's frustrating, but just, you know, let's take a little lesson from Luke. It's okay. Just take a breath. It's not that serious. You know, what's the big deal? There is no big deal. Just go with the flow. Anyway, I hope you really all have a blessed day. Weekend's coming up. Today's Friday. And I hope you have a good and fun and relaxing and do something for yourself this weekend. Bye-bye.